Yeah, you're hearing that music a day early. You know why that is? The Atlanta Falcons play football tomorrow. Yeah, it's a preseason game. Who cares? They're playing football. And starting this fall, both our next guests and I will be a part of the Atlanta Falcons radio network. Joe Patrick resumes his duties as co-host of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Yours truly is taking over the Falcons Flyover Show. So me and you on the phones after every game. Joe, we have finally made it. And with that said, the Atlanta Falcons did some serious work yesterday. A little scrimmage to define all scrimmages. And it was heated. It was intense by all accounts. What were your biggest takeaways from what you saw on the field yesterday?
Yeah, it was good. And, you know, we talked to Caleb McGarry after it was over, and he was saying that that is the kind of practice that the veterans in particular prefer maybe more than any other. And, you know, especially, well, I don't know if I should say especially over a preseason game, but I just think that they feel like that is basically the most productive kind of practice you can have, because you really are simulating the conditions of a game as best you can while being able to mitigate some of the injuries, you know. And it's not just about the quarterbacks, although obviously mitigating injuries with regards to wanting to do these scrimmages versus preseason games is largely down to protecting those guys. But also, you know, Raheem Morris talks about the way that they instruct contact in these things is front thuds. So it's like thud contact rules, which is basically like, you know, you make contact, you kind of drive for a second and then let go. But it's also only from the front, so you're not really getting any kind of guys knocked off their feet from the side and all that kind of stuff. So that's the reason they do it. And yeah, like it was very competitive, intense. I mean, the players certainly looked like, you know, they were playing at, you know, game speed or as close to it that you can simulate at this point in preseason. And, you know, for that reason, I think we got some great plays. We saw Michael Penix throwing, at least one pass was the best pass he's thrown of this training camp. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. And it left his hand. It was that one to Ray Ravenclaw. I'm sure all of our listeners have probably seen it or heard about it by now. And I was kind of down on the opposite side of the field from where it was happening. I was on the sideline to where it was going, but I was literally about 100 yards away on the other side. And all the players on that sideline were kind of between me and where I could see the intended receiver. And when the ball was leaving Penix's hand, I just thought, there's no way that's coming down in bounds. Like that's going out of bounds. And it's sure enough, that ball just kind of tips over. And, you know, the point of the ball tips over and just perfect. And I saw like the eruption, basically. That's how I knew that it was completed. And the reason I was standing where I was is because there was a TV monitor, a video monitor. I could turn around and rewatch the replay. And obviously, as everybody saw, it was just dropped right in the bucket. And so, you know, those are the kinds of throws that were the big takeaway for me, Chris. I mean, it was Michael Penix putting those dots on Drake London pretty consistently. I know that one was to Ray Ray, but he obviously hit Drake a couple more times down that same sideline. Also was hitting Drake over the middle of the field on a couple of occasions, which I know has been something that, you know, people on Twitter, at least in my replies, have been asking about. We saw the play action game being implemented into all of this as well, into this passing attack. So really, really good signs from this Falcons offense. And I think an evolution of what they were last year. And that was the main takeaway.
And the initial roster, I know we take it with a grain of salt, was released. Were there any surprises to you on the depth chart?
You know, I gave it a cursory glance. I mean, there was nothing all that surprising to me. Honestly, I feel like this first depth chart that they typically do is kind of made with veterans in mind as being the ones that are kind of, you know, holding the top spots, at least at this point. I wouldn't say there was anything too surprising. I think that the more interesting kind of depth chart moves, Chris, that have been happening this week, where we've seen guys like Casey Washington, for example, kind of really getting himself inserted into the first team with Darnell Mooney out. They've kind of been searching for who was going to kind of be that player to step up. And it seems like Casey Washington is one of those guys, although they're also mixing up the personnel a little bit. So when they are in maybe two tight end sets or 21 personnel, you know, they have Ray McCloud out there as the other receiver. But that's been notable. And then the other thing that's been notable to me this week is Billy Bowman starting to get some reps with the first team defense. And he hasn't just exclusively worked with the first team. Like, he's gotten reps with the first team as well as the Alford at nickel and as well as Mike Ford, who's also gotten rotated in. But what I have noticed, while they have been kind of getting looks at all these guys in that spot, I did notice in the practice on Tuesday when the team session started, and I could hear Jeff Ulbrich yelling first team defense, that was Billy Bowman going out there with that defense. And so I think it is notable that he is like the, while there are obviously looking at everybody or all these different options they have in that secondary, getting reps with the first team secondary, that Billy Bowman has been the first one to get those reps. I was on both the Tuesday practice and the Wednesday scrimmage. I think is notable, and I think that's a great sign, because I think that, you know, kind of reading the tea leaves of the coaching staff ever since he was drafted, it feels like they have a very clear plan for him to be that player for them, and I think that they wanted to see him kind of ascend and take that over. And we got to talk to him on Wednesday afterwards, and he certainly sounds very confident, but in a calm way, like it's not kind of, you know, doesn't have a million things racing through his head, and certainly has the build and the physique I think that they would love out of a nickelback. He's got that short area explosiveness, and he's also just really well built and able to, you know, take on some blockers and make tackles in the box. So things are looking good on that front for Billy Bowman, the fourth round pick.
How much run do you expect Walker and Pierce to get tomorrow?
I expect them to play. I mean, Raheem Morris said that, you know, guys like Jaylen Walker were going to play. Xavier Watts is going to play. Those are the two he mentioned by name, because those guys had missed time in this training camp for some minor injuries. But I would assume that we also expect James Pierce Jr. to play. He just, you know, he's obviously been playing all throughout camp, and he's been playing with everybody from the first team to the third team defense. They've really kind of been mixing a lot up on the front. And so I would expect to see those guys for, you know, obviously if we expect them to play, you know, you would say the minimum is one series, which very well could be it. I would say the maximum we see them is for like one quarter basically, but we'll see. It kind of depends on how many actual snaps, how many actual reps they get in these drives. You know, you hope that the Falcons are getting off the field relatively quickly, and maybe, you know, who knows how many drives that means that they're out there. But I got to say, you know, like James Pierce Jr. for me, Chris, he's the guy that I really want to see how he looks against, you know, another team, because I know how he's looked against this team. And I'm just, you know, preseason is great because you kind of get a little bit of a sample of like how these guys fare against like other competition, because, you know, when you're just seeing them go up against the same guys, you don't know if, you know, maybe they're just, they have a great matchup. Like with Pierce on McGarry, for example, we kind of know that that's a positive matchup for Pierce in some respects, or, you know, you just never know exactly how they're going to fare when they find some different competition. So that's one I'm really looking forward to.
How much of a fear is it for you, or, you know, not fear for you, but fear is it for the Falcons that Troy Anderson doesn't actually make this team?
It is a fear for me. I'm sorry. Let me go back and rephrase. It's not a fear for me that he's going to make the team. I'm 99% certain that, you know, he will be basically activated off pup and carried on the 53-man roster, and then probably put back on injured reserve. That's not the part of the 99%. I think some people are getting carried away, and I was a little bit concerned about this after Raheem Morris's press conference on Wednesday. I went and got clarification from a team official to kind of sort out exactly what he was talking about when he was saying that, you know, we're not concerned about, he said something along the lines of, we're not as concerned about Troy being ready for the season about Troy for the season as we are for Troy's health, or something along those lines. And when he was referring to the season, I got clarification from a team official that he was talking about the start of the season, not missing the entire season. It is an interesting one, because it really kind of feels like the knee injury that Kyle Pitts had back a couple of years ago, where, you know, we knew it was a serious injury, but then when the injury was carrying over from that same knee kind of like into the next year, or ramifications of that injury, you know, that was a longer time horizon than I think a lot of people thought. And it seems like this Troy Anderson one is kind of along that same lines. And just because he's been out of action, he hasn't been involved in training camp so far, they don't really kind of have to divulge. We haven't talked to him about what the injury actually was. So we'll see. But I do think that kind of the worst case scenario for Troy, and I would say maybe the most likely scenario right now, is that he is put on the 53-man roster, but then put on injured reserve and is going to miss the first four games of the season. We'll see. I mean, I think the timeline is still open in that regards, but that feels like the path that we're heading down right now.
Wrapping up our conversation with Joe Patrick, make sure you check out Joe Patrick on Football for the latest on the Falcons and the NFL as well. So how much do you think tomorrow night we're going to see of the Falcons offense in terms of what plays are being made? Could we, like, essentially, Joe, can we envision the plays that are being run by Easton Stick and Carlos Washington in our mind's eye? Can we see that being Michael Penix Jr. and Bijan Robinson?
I mean, they will run, like, they're just going to be like the very base versions of these plays. Like, you know, it's like you can run a play and you can dress it up, you know, 100 different ways. And the version of those plays that we see tomorrow are going to be like the plays in their underwear, basically, to paint a picture here. And, you know, when Bijan is running them with Michael Penix, especially when we talk about when they're running some of these plays, like, you know, in week 14, that will be the play with a full tuxedo on, you know, it'll be kind of all full of the misdirections and all that stuff and checking into some of these plays as well. So we're just going to see very basic things, I would imagine. Having said that, the preseason games are not without interest for players who are going to make the roster. And I would just recommend that people really pay attention to who is playing on special teams, especially the early special team snaps, whether that's kickoffs, whether that's punts, punt returns. Look at the players. Take a picture with your phone and then go back and look at the players who are on the field at that point in time. I would imagine that those are going to be the players that have the leg up on making the roster when it comes down to making cuts.
Joe, appreciate it as always. We'll chat on Monday to recap what we saw, who stood out and who didn't. And you know what, Joe? Something tells me we may get an announcement about a kicking situation. Now, it feels like this one might be coming to an end. We'll keep an eye on that this weekend. Appreciate you, my friend.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Chris.
All right. That is our good buddy, Joe Patrick, there. All right. When we get back, if you didn't get in on the phones before, 404-726-0929. The lines were bursting, and I couldn't get to everybody. So call back if you didn't get on and you want to share your opinion. Do you believe that because guys like Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Cam Ward are all suiting up this weekend and getting run in the preseason, that means Michael Penix Jr. should too? 404-726-0929. Does that change your opinion at all that those elite top three quarterbacks in the league are playing this weekend? Should Penix play as well? We'll take your calls next. 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas tonight.